Daily Drive is brought to you by Reynolds & Reynolds. Want to know how dealerships like yours saw increased profit performance dealership-wide? Visit reyrey.com/KPI to read the Impact on Profitability study. That's reyrey.com/KPI.
I'm Jason Stein, publisher of Automotive News, and this is Daily Drive. It's Monday, September 28th. If you were to write the achievements of auto retail legend Rick Case, you couldn't fit it onto a single page. Where to begin? How to summarize the achievements? And how to succinctly piece together so many years, 59 to be exact, of the Rick Case Automotive Group? It's so much more than the 16 dealerships and 1,300 associates across multiple states. It's a career that started when a 14-year-old bought a used car, fixed it up, and put a for sale sign on it in his parents' driveway in Akron, Ohio. That car sold within days, and so began an illustrious career full of record sale after record sale. Rick Case then started a used car reconditioning business before he was even old enough to drive. At age 19, he operated his first used car lot all by himself, Moxie Motors, in Akron. He sold cars during the day and got cars ready at night. He was living the American dream: hard work, honest work, and prosperity. That led to record motorcycle sales, record car sales, endless charity efforts, and a lifetime in the car business. And what a career. Too much to sum up in a page. So in his last dying days, Rick worked closely with his wife, Rita, and daughter, Raquel, to put the finishing touches on his biography and final press release. 7 pages long. The man who was once the PR machine behind Evel Knievel had his final marketing touch. We've reached Rita and Raquel Case in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Hi, Rita.
Hi.
Raquel, it is nice to talk to you again as well.
Thank you. You too.
Rita, I want to start with you. First of all, I want to give our condolences from our Automotive News family to yours on the passing of a husband and a father, an icon in the automotive retail space. And we're going to get into a lot of Rick Case's history. But I also want to go back to February. And I was honored to be asked as the MC at the Boca Raton Concours, which I know was a source of pride for Rick. And what a fitting final Concours and Boys and Girls Club event. To have a packed room and manufacturers and retailers and industry spokespersons to really honor what was happening, which was an enormous gift to the community in what was, I think, Rita, probably one of the last major automotive events pre-pandemic. And Rick Case hosted that. Is that not perfect?
Oh, yes. It was, you know, he so enjoyed the Concours d'Elegance that he started 13 years ago to benefit the Boys and Girls Clubs of Broward County. He was always coming up with new events that he thought he could raise money with different groups of people. And we've been going to the Pebble Beach and the Amelia Island for, you know, 40, 30 years. And he said, we need to have a Concours down here in Fort Lauderdale to benefit the Boys and Girls Clubs. And We started that 13 years ago. He came up with the idea, got the group together, and it's been a very successful event. And yes, he was always about cars, and he was always about helping kids.
I think Jay Leno last week said it best when he said that he knew every aspect, not just the car side, but an enthusiast. He knew how cars were built, how they were financed, how to market them, how to sell them. And in a very touching tribute, Jay Leno said that he really personified the American dream. I guess if we go back to Akron, Ohio, you would concur.
I certainly would. I mean, when he decided to save up enough money and buy a car to sell on his parents' front yard when he was, 14 years old, and made more money and selling the one car that he did the whole year in his paper route, he said, boy, this is the business I've got to get into. So when he was able to get a little lot after he graduated from high school and just ran it himself, and it was a shack, literally, about, 10 by 14 building. And that's how he got his start. But he was He was always selling. He was always wanting to sell. And so whatever he could sell, you know, he did. When color TVs came out, he decided, boy, I got to sell color TVs. So he opened that. And Toyota came, he decided, I can sell those. And then Honda motorcycles. And it just went from there. Whatever he thought he could sell in volume is what attracted him to get into businesses and grow.
And not only some of those Hondas and Toyotas that were first, but he was the first really to sell a lot of new brands that were coming to America. What was his passion for being at the forefront of so much of that?
Well, one of the main reasons is he didn't have the capital to go out and buy a dealership. And the only way to get a dealership franchise was for it to be awarded to you by the manufacturer. So he said, you know what, I'm gonna pioneer these brands because they give them to you. So he was, you know, he was given Honda, he was given you know, Isuzu, he took on that as soon as it came out. He took on Mitsubishi, he took on Hyundai, Acura. When they first were signing up dealers, Rick would go to the manufacturer and apply for the franchise. So his passion was to be bigger, was to be volume, was to be number one. And you needed a lot of capital if you were going to go buy a Chevy store or buy a Ford store. So the only way he could grow, he felt, was to be issued the franchises by the manufacturer. So he pretty much was definitely a pioneer. You know, back in 1968, when they were introducing the Honda at the Chicago Auto Show, it was just the Honda 360. They never brought that car to the United States, but it was being introduced at the Chicago Auto Show. Rick was the representative for American Honda. He flew up there and he worked the booth, even though they didn't even bring that car, because he was the largest Honda motorcycle dealer in the United States. And so he figured, you know, I better go up there and represent Honda at the introduction of this little car.
And then ended up selling the most Honda cars in 1 month, 1,222, and a couple of other brands that he was a part of, Fiat, Lancia, Smart Car. I mean, there wasn't anything that he wasn't interested in, and the success followed. The world's largest volume Acura dealer for a decade in a row. Right, Rita?
Yes, he was driven to be number one, whether it was to be number one in car sales, to be number one, the first person to open a dealership. We were the first ones to open the Acura. We were the first ones to open the Hyundai store. He was driven to be number one. And the same thing went with charity. If when the American Heart Association needed more money here in town and they said, Rick, can you help us with the heart walk? He said, yeah. He always asked them when he went to the first committee meeting, what was the most money you've ever raised at the heart walk? And they would say whatever the number was. And he says, okay, I'm going to beat it. And that's how he attacked everything. His mind was, I have to beat whoever's record. If I'm going to do a charity event, or I'm going to start a franchise, or I'm going to build the dealership. I mean, he's built the world's largest dealerships, 8 stories high with an elevator in the showroom that takes you up to each floor with a different model on each floor. I mean, nobody would even think of doing that or be confident enough to make the investment in it, because it's obviously these facilities are, you know, quite expensive. But he had tremendous confidence in his ability to sell. And he knew if he could sell it, I was going to figure out a way to make a profit. So we were just a great team.
And speaking of that, you met at a Honda convention in 1977. You married in 1980. And Roger Penske said that Rick and Rita intended to be number one at everything that they started. And they succeeded every time. Jay Leno described it the same way, and in fact married his wife in the same year that the two of you were married, described you as being just an enormously successful couple. That 1-2 duo, I imagine, was just had all of the recipe for success.
Oh, well, you know, when we did meet at the Honda convention, I was running my parents' Honda dealership, which was the first dealership in the United States, dealer number one, because my father had the Honda motorcycles in 1959 when they came to the United States. So when they were passing out the Honda car franchises, they went to the California dealers first, their motorcycle dealer distribution. That was the only people they knew. And they gave the franchise to the motorcycle dealers first. And so I was running my parents' dealerships, the motorcycle and the car Honda. And, you know, I had a passion for the business my whole life. I wanted to be the dealer. I wanted to be very successful. I wanted to prove that a woman could be in the motorcycle and car dealership management and run it and hopefully own it. And so we had a real passion both for sales, for the industry. And he was single, I was single, and you know how those meetings go. Usually everybody's married, so we ended up sitting next to each other at all the dinners and things. And next thing you know, I decided to leave Santa Rosa, California, and go to Akron, Ohio, and be his partner and be his wife. And it was fantastic.
Raquel, I want to ask...
Fantastic 40 years.
Indeed. Raquel, I want to ask you about a couple of achievements, the 10-year, 100,000-mile warranty with Hyundai. Tell me your dad's legacy around that.
So in 1996, when Hyundai, when the reputation of Hyundai was not exactly the best, and they were really losing a lot of market share and customer confidence, my dad went to Hyundai and said, look, we have to do something, and we have to show that you have confidence in your car before you can get customers to have confidence in your car and buy what you sell. So he said, this is what we have to do, and we have to offer a 10-year, 100,000-mile warranty showing that you're confident that no matter what happens to the car, that you'll take care of it. And it's an idea and a value that is with Hyundai, and other brands have followed to this day.
Incredible, really, in many ways, with what is now standard for so many others. Raquel, can you talk a little bit about your father's ability to be a marketing guru? And really, that, I think for most retailers, that separated him from so many.
Absolutely. He was always an out-of-the-box thinker. He never followed anyone else. He says, okay, if we... You know, we got to try it. We got to be the first to do it. If it works, let's roll. If it doesn't, then we'll do something different. And it always worked. And, you know, one thing about his marketing is he started with these ideas when he was so young. And, you know, even when he was a kid, filling newspaper routes, you know, just gathering a group rather than just sticking to his one route, he hired other guys, and he promoted their route, which then he made money, you know, he sold them the papers, they went out, but he promoted the route and got more people to, buy the papers. So he's been marketing since the day he started selling anything, and there's so many examples that of things that he's done and ideas that he's created, especially even in philanthropic side, marketing and creating events that no one else ever has.
Mike Jackson, CEO of AutoNation, chairman, said that part of his success in selling is that he genuinely cared about the customer. He always thought about the customer and thought of the way that the customer wanted to be treated. I think, Rita, that sort of sums it up to a T, doesn't it? I mean, Rick only thought of what the customer's interests were.
Back in the early 80s, when we came up with the line, treat every customer as you would your best friend, which has been our mission statement, and it has been how we have grown the associates' thinking and our culture. And it was very simple. He would tell our associates, listen, if your mother was coming in to buy a car, you knew she was coming in to buy a car, you were going to take care of her, wouldn't you make sure that that car was perfect, clean, had gas, was ready to go, the paperwork was filled out as much as possible, you'd made sure it started? Or if your brother was coming in to have his car serviced in the service department and you were a service advisor, wouldn't you make sure, man, you were out front greeting him, making sure that that the technician was ready for his, that he had the parts. He said, if you'll just use that thinking with every single transaction, with every customer you meet, whether it's on the phone or whether it's physically at the dealership, if you will treat them as you would your best friend, your neighbor, your high school buddy, you will be very successful. And it doesn't really take any extra effort. It's just a mindset. It's a mindset of how you will approach the customer. So we have used that when we wrote the book to celebrate Rick's 50 years as a car dealer. We named the book Our Customers, Our Friends. And we have it at our dealerships for anybody to come in and take for free. The book is for free. It's his autobiography. But it's really, the book is about his life, about, you know, the story of his life. All the way from the beginning to, you know, when 50, I guess it was 2012, was his 50th anniversary in the car business. We're now celebrating the 59th anniversary this year. But he's always felt that the customer, if you just treat him, just as simple as that, treat him like your friend, and you're gonna do right by yourself and the company.
The first dealer to ever receive the J.D. Power Customer Service Award, which is amazing in its own right. 59 years, as you mentioned, 1,300 associates. But you've got a plan to go from here. And it was a plan, Rita, that you outlined with Rick, right? I mean,
yes.
We continue on. And that means in so many ways, the leadership roles and, of course, the business.
Yes, well, fortunately, you know, our children both went to Automotive College, Northwood, and the Dealer Academy and NADA. They both worked in the business. Our son is a fixed operations director for parts and service nationally, and he's been with us for 15 years out of college. And our daughter, Raquel, a little younger, she's been with us for 11 years. She graduated from Northwood, and she's development director for us. So, and of course, I've been COO for 40 years, but, you know, we're fortunate that our kids are very passionate about the business. And Rick was very clear, as I have been. Listen, kids, if you don't like the business, please don't be in it, because unless you're passionate about it, it's a lot of work. It's really a lot of work. It's a lot of hours, but it's also the funnest business ever if you love it. So fortunately, both of our kids are enjoying it. They've been involved with our management team, starting with just selling and service and just working their way up through all the different jobs. And Rick and I, you know, had time to talk about it, even though he kept his illness private with the family only. That's why it's been such a shock to the industry. But it was what he wanted. He did not want it to be known that he was sick. And so the pandemic came right in time. Kind of gave us an opportunity to kind of keep it, you know, within the family. So, you know, we've talked about it. He just kept telling me, Rita, you know, be strong and carry on. And he also challenged the kids in his final days. He said, beat my record. Nobody else could.
Raquel, I can only imagine. I know you were part of the process of drafting the press release that talked about all of his achievements. I imagine you're up for the challenge.
Absolutely. You know, one thing the most impactful thing that he always taught me was, you know, being number one, being anything else is not an option. And it was so contagious. And, you know, his positive energy, and it's ingrained in my core values. And I'm definitely up for the challenge. And the three of us can definitely take it on, and we will beat his record.
One final thing, Rita, when we go back to that 19-year-old who was in Akron and operating his first used car lot all by himself, fittingly called Moxie Motors. He was a guy with a lot of moxie, wasn't he?
Yes, he was. He was. He was definitely willing to bank on himself. And he went out on the limb several times, and he went very out on the limb, actually, when he built all those Hyundai stores from the ground up in 1986, and we had five of them, and they started to go in the tank there in 1991, if you recall. 1992, they were about bottom of the barrel.
Yep.
And we had all these Hyundai stores that we had to make payments on, and we've had our share of close calls, but we always just grind it, came through, used cars, figured it out, and I miss him terribly. I loved him.
I can't imagine the outpouring that you've received from the industry over the course of the last week. I'm sure it's come from all sides.
Yes, I'm very appreciative that he's getting this recognition.
Rita, thank you so much.
You're welcome, Jason. Thanks for calling.
Raquel, thank you.
Thank you, Jason, for the opportunity.
We've reached Rita and Raquel Case in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. And that's Daily Drive for Monday, September 28th. For breaking news, go to autonews.com. And for a library of more than 135 interviews, go to autonews.com/dailydrive. We'll be back Tuesday. Now, a word from our sponsor.
In today's automotive market, maximizing existing profit centers and creating new ones is more than a savvy move. It's the biggest factor in getting the most out of every customer opportunity. What would it mean to improve your profit performance in every area of your dealership? More customer pay ROs. More finance gross from new and used vehicles. Fewer write-offs in service. Reduced time required to complete a deal. The key to all of that, and more, is giving your employees the freedom to drive revenue. Time they spend focused on manual processes is time that can, and should, be used in more profitable ways. When this happens, processes are redefined, employees are empowered, and attention can be turned back to the customer. It all adds up to your dealership becoming the best version of itself. The big question is, how much more do you stand to make? How would a 44.3% increase in service department gross affect you? What about a 25.7% increase in combined gross per new vehicle sold? Those aren't theoretical figures. They are real key performance indicators from a 3-year study of dealerships who gave their employees that freedom to do more with their time. With the right tools behind your revenue drivers, you'll see improved profit performance too. To see more key performance indicators from real dealerships like yours, visit rayray.com/KPI and read the full Impact on Profitability report. That's reyrey.com/KPI.